I'll do my best to talk loud since it doesn't seem to be your mic. Can you hear me? Okay, good. Thank you very much. They're recording on this, so. They set it up, so it's right here. Okay. Yesterday in Parshas Noach, we learned about the tragic fate of two wicked generations. Of course, the generation known as the Dor HaMabul, the generation that behaved in a base and immoral manner, such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally decided to destroy the whole world, except for Noach and his family. That's the first half of the Seder. Then at the very end of the Seder, we read about a different generation, which is known as the Dor HaFloga. Dor HaFloga was that generation of people who tried to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu to build some sort of a tower. It's somewhat of a mystifying passage, exactly what they were trying to do. But in any event, we know that they tried in some sense to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them, or he thwarted their efforts by mixing up the languages. That's a simple reading of the Psukim. So that section is introduced. You look in the first of the sources, in Parshas Noach, Bereishis Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Aleph, Vayehi Chol Ha'aretz Sofa Echos Udvarim Achadim. At that point, everyone in the land, everybody on earth, spoke Sofa Echos, one language, and Dvarim Achadim, they were of one like-minded, they were of one mind. And Rashi comments right away in the second source, Sofa Echos, what was the one language that they spoke? That everybody spoke, says Rashi, Lashon HaKodesh, that which we call Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew. That's not exactly necessarily the same as modern Hebrew and so on, but modern Hebrew is based on. So what we refer to as Lashon HaKodesh, the Lashon which we daven, the Lashon which the Torah is written and so on, that was, according to Rashi, the spoken language. Rashi didn't get this on his own, he didn't make this up. The Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi in Megillah, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes, says, quotes our pasuk, "See, vahi cholar tzofa echot from achrim." Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yechanan, Chad Omar, shemidabrim b'shivim lashon. It's actually what Rashi quotes in our parsha in the Chumash is only one opinion. The second opinion, the first opinion in Yerushalmi, is Rabbi Yochanan, who said they spoke actually 70 different languages, but everybody understood those languages. I have no proof for this. I suspect that it was basically dialects, what we would call today dialects of one basic language. So let's say we take English. So, you know, those of us who grew up here in the New York area, let's say New York, which is different than the people from Boston, you know, and it's different than the people in Chicago and you know, and in Louisiana, you know, the deep south. So it's English, to say nothing of British English or South African English or Australian English, which is different. So we can understand it, most of the time, I think, we can understand it. My mother, Les Shalom, her father, my grandfather, was a chaplain for a while in the Second World War, so he was stationed for a while in Virginia. So my mother was a little girl growing up there in Virginia, so people come to the door selling stuff, and they started speaking a southern drawl, and my grandmother had to call, one second, she had to call my mother, the little girl. She didn't understand what they were saying, but my mother, the little girl, could pick it up more quickly. Anyway, so we have different dialects in our language as well. So perhaps that's what they had in mind over here. But that's one opinion. The Churna, the other opinion is Shem Medabrin Belashon Yichudo Shel Olam, or Yichido Shel Olam, Belashon HaKodesh. That's the one that Rashi quotes. The one language they spoke was the language, the language HaKadosh Baruch himself used when he created the world and so on. That's the language that they spoke. That's how the Pnei Moshe, in Source 4, the Pnei Moshe is a commentary. It's the primary, or one of the primary commentaries of Talmud Yerushalmi. In fact, it's the only commentary that appears on the entire corpus of the Yerushalmi from the Pnei Moshe. So the Pnei Moshe says, what's the prompting this whole analysis? Because you have a double expression. Look in the first source. Sofa echos udvarim achadim. That seems to mean the same thing. Right? They were of one language, one thought, and so on. So he explains, oh, you have a drasha. There's something that the Torah is telling us here because it is double language. And he says that one opinion is they spoke 70 languages. And we call them Mabul. V'lomdum in Ochubana. V'zeu sofa echas. We call them Yodim Chol Loshom. Everybody understood each other. Maybe, that's why I think it means different dialects. Okay, by the time after the flood, Noach and his sons spread around the world. That's what it says in the Sedra also. So several generations later, so they lived in different places, and there were probably different dialects that they had already learned. The other opinion, no, they spoke the one language. And the Pnei Moshe says, "Hu lashon hakodesh shabo nivra ha'olam." We have a tradition. It says in Pirkei Avos. I didn't print it, but it says in Pirkei Avos, "Vasara mamoros nivra olam." Because Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or just say poof or something. He's made 10 statements. Yehi or, yehi rakia. He said certain The tradition is 10. How we get to number 10, when you look in the Psukim, so that's for analysis another time. It doesn't seem to add up to 10. But basically, we have a tradition, Basara Mamoros, and certainly you can find many of them. Yehi Rakia, Yehi Moros, all those things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. So what language did he say them in? It's our tradition, he said them in Lashon HaKodesh. That was the language. So when it says Safo Yachos, it means the language of the Yechido Shel Olam, the unique one of the world, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the language in which he created the world. Okay. It's interesting that Rashi in last week's Sedra, in Parshas Bereishis, points out, he brings a proof that the world must have been created using Hebrew, because many of the words that appear in the Chumash that seem to relate to each other in Hebrew and not in all other languages. So for example, the creation of Chava, so in source number 5, last week's Sedra in Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel, it says, Lezos Yikarei Isha. After he created Chava from the rib of Adam, as described in last week's Sedra, so it says we're going to call this creature Isha, woman, right? Isha, what Isha? Ki me ish lukachazos. That's what the pasuk says. She came from an ish. In other words, as Rashi says, loshon nofal loshon. The Isha comes from the word ish, because since she was created from ish, so it's Isha. So you see, that's true in Hebrew. It's not true in every language. In English, it happens to be that it is related. Right? Man and woman are related in English. But in many other languages, that's what the Medrash and the Bereishis Rabbah in last week's Sedra, in the Parsha Yudches Siman Dalad, it says, in other languages, the Medrash says, Lezos Yikar Yisho, look at 6, Mikan Shenitna HaTorah B'Lashon HaKodesh. This is one of the sources to indicate to us that the Torah was given, the world was created in Lashon HaKodesh, okay, because... He quotes other languages, Greek and Aramaic, where the language for woman or the word for woman is not related to the word for man. For example, in Aramaic, when I want to speak about a man, it says, Ahu Gavra. And when I talk about a woman, it says, Ahi Itza. The words are not related, right? The words are not related to each other. But in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, they are related because that's how it was set up. So that's a raya that the world was created by Lashon HaKodesh. In any event, bottom line, you have this concept that was the language which they spoke. Again, the Yechidah Shel Olam, that's in the Karbon HaEdah, source 7, that's another commentary in the Yerushalmi. He says, you know, you don't need the whole Pasuk, and the Pasuk comes to teach us Drasha. Good, that was the language that people spoke. Okay. Now, as a side point, it's interesting that we have, the Torah, of course, is in Lashon HaKodesh. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if you look in Chof Aleph and Beis, that actually, look in 8, Amar Mar Zutra Vitema Mar Ukba Bitchila Nitna Torah Yisrael B'Ksav Ivri V'Loshon HaKodesh. The Torah was originally given in Ksav Ivri. Ksav Ivri is a script, which is not the Hebrew script that we're familiar with. What's called Ksav Ivri is not the script that's in the Sefer Torah or the Hebrew script that we're familiar with. It's a different script. If you're interested, you can look, let's say, in the Encyclopedia Judaica, and it can probably go online now. You can check. You want to see Ksav Ivri, they'll show you what the Aleph Beis looks like in that script. It's a different script than we're accustomed to. Not the script that we have. But the language, Lashon HaKodesh, later on, in the days of Ezra, we know that when they came back to Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Ezra, so it says, Chazav Nitalahem Bimei Ezra B'Ksav Ashuris V'Lashon Arami. At the time, in Ezra's time, so they had a different script. It's called Ksav Ashuris. That is the script that we're familiar with from a mezuzah or from tefillin, from a sefer Torah. That's a standard script that we have. That's called Ksav Ashuris. But the language at that point was Lashon Arami. It was Aramaic. That was more the spoken language of the Jews at the time of Ezra when they came back from Babel. So the language that they used more was Aramaic. Biru, ultimately, the Gemara says, Biru Lahen Yisrael. Ultimately, it played out that the Jewish people chose. So to this day, Ksav Ashuris, the Ksav, the script, is the Ksav Ashuris, and the language is Lashon HaKodesh. That's what we have, Lashon HaKodesh. We still use Aramaic, and people have Targum in Aramaic, and so on, but ultimately, when we read from the Torah, it's Ksav Ashuris, this particular script that we have. You see it in the Tefillin, the Mezuzahs, and so on, and Lashon HaKodesh. So that is the language, Lashon HaKodesh. As a side point, why is it called Lashon HaKodesh? If you think about it for a moment, what's holy about a language? I mean, a language is ultimately nothing more than, you know, it's a collection of sounds, which by popular consensus, this sound means that thing, because we all understand it. This is called a hat, because we always understand that it's a hat. There's nothing about this that combination of letters and consonants and vowels should, it could be, we could have called it something else, and I would agree to call it something else. My wife would call it shmata. I don't know, but the other people would call it different things, right? The point is, there are different things that language usually is based on understanding. And of course, language changes. Okay, language changes, is constantly evolving because of the way people understand and people associate certain sounds with a particular thing. And that's by popular consensus. I mean, you know, we speak English, but if you look in Chaucer's original English, it's a foreign language. And even Shakespeare, the words are more familiar, but many words in Shakespeare have different meanings than they have today. And even, you know, in contemporary times, you know, you use the word cool, and, oh, it's so cool. And that's not commenting on the temperature. Right, so you know, and there's many words like that that take on different meanings. So, what is it about language that we refer to this language Lashon HaKodesh? So, the Ramban, this is a side point, but I think it's interesting. The Ramban, in Source 9 in Parshas Kisisa, Shmos Perek Lamed Pasuk Gimel, he says, "V'chein hatam etzli." It appears to me, b'masher b'seinu korin Lashon HaTorah Lashon HaKodesh. Very simple. Because that's the language, the Torah, and the Nevi'im, and everything's written. These are our holy works. These are our sacred texts. And these are written in that language. And therefore, the language is called Lashon HaKodesh. V'hineh ha-Lashon, hu ha-Lashon, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yisaleh, Shmo, Midaber Bo Nevi'im, Adaso. That's the language in which Shakadosh Baruch Hu communicated to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Nevi'im, and so on. So it's the language of Shakadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, it's... Even the Aseret HaDibros and so on. According to our tradition, everybody heard the first two of the Aseret HaDibros in linguistic form. The rest, they heard sounds or whatever, but at least the first two they heard. And again, that was the language used, and therefore it's called Lashon HaKodesh. And the nicknames of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there were seven nicknames of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's listed over here. Kael, Elohim, Tzvakos, Shakai, and so on. Yud Kei Vav Kei, all the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are in Hebrew, in this language. So that's why it's called Lashon HaKodesh. Furthermore, on the top of the next page, Ubo Bara Lama, like we've been saying till now, that's the language HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world. Okay, and he made up words, Shamayim and Eretz and all these things. And that's the language the Malachim speaks. So the Ramban goes on, and you can read further if you wish on your own, to see this is the language which the people refer to as Lashon HaKodesh. The Rambam, which the Ramban quotes, but the Rambam in the Maor Nebuchim has a different... take. He says in Maor Nebuchim Chelek Gimel Perek Ches, the Rambam points out, he says, Yuli Gam Kein Tanis Asiba B'Kriyas Lashon Zeh Lashon Kodesh. We call it Lashon HaKodesh because this language, there are no words for what we would call today foul language or vulgar terms, curse words and so on and so forth. I'm not talking about modern Hebrew, but I'm talking about Lashon HaKodesh. There are no words, all the words are pure, so to speak. There's no words for that today people would use as foul language or as vulgar language, describing, you know, the sexual act or as you know, the parts of the body or you know, byproducts of waste of the body and so on and so forth. Those words don't exist in this language, the Rambam says. If they have them, they're borrowed from other languages. Again, modern Hebrew, you know, they use words they borrow from English and other languages for these kinds of things. But that's what makes it a language that has kedusha to it, that doesn't have anything we would call today vulgar or foul language. Interesting approach for the Rambam. Okay, anyway, that's why it's called Lashon HaKodesh. One other ha'ara, okay, in source number 11. Shisha Dvarim Nemar B'nei Adam, okay, the Gemara Chagiga Tes Zayin Amad Aleph says, that there are certain ways in which human beings are like angels and certain ways in which human beings are like animals. And one of the ways they're like you, Malach HaShoris, Yeshlam Das, we have intelligence, or Mahalchim Bekoma Zakufa, we walk upright, and also Misaprim Lashon HaKodesh, that we speak in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, so that's the language of the Malachim as well. So for all those reasons, it's called Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, so that's just background information about this language. Now let's come to the question I want to look at, entitled this year, is it a proper, is it allowed, is it encouraged, to daven in a language other than Lashon HaKodesh? All our tefillos and so on and tchinos are in Hebrew, the print and the siddur in Hebrew, but is it okay or is it advisable, perhaps on a certain circumstance, for a person to daven and to say things in English or in other languages that you understand? Let's say a person doesn't speak Hebrew, doesn't understand what he's saying, and you read in English, you understand better. We just had Rosh Yom Kippur. There's so many piyutim and so many things which are in such intricate poetic Hebrew and so on and so forth, so I'd be better off reading in English. So is a person encouraged or allowed to do that? So our point of departure for that is a discussion in the Gemara in Maseches Sota. Actually, it's a Mishnah. In source number 12, Lamed Beis and Aleph and Sota. The Mishnah says, Elu Ne'amarin B'chol Lashon. The following can be declared or recited in any language, b'chol lashon, in any language. We have a list. Parshas Soto. That's why it's in Masechah Soto. Masechah Soto, as you may know, is a situation where a husband suspects his wife of infidelity, and he has to have certain, he has certain reasons. There's a certain grounds for that suspicion, and it was a warning, and it was one witness, and not enough to convict. You need two witnesses, but there's certain grounds for the suspicion, and so on. And she denies it, and so on. So, if you remember, she comes to the Beis Hamikdash. There was a whole ceremony where she has to drink certain water. Anyway, part of that ceremony is that certain psukim. There's a certain declaration, certain psukim, which are written in the Torah, and the Mishnah tells us that that can be in any language. You don't have to read it in the exact language, the Hebrew, as is written in the text of the Chumash. You can read it in another language. Good, that's one. Parsha Soda. Vidui Meiser. The Torah describes that when you bring your tithes, the Meiseros, every third year and every sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, if you have to bring your gifts and so on, there was a certain declaration that was made called Vidui Meiser, which is printed in the Torah in Parshas Kisovo, if you want to look it up. So the Mishnah says you can say that in another language also. If you don't understand it, you can say it in another language, not a problem. Also, Kriya Shema. The Mishnah mentions Kriya Shema. You can say Shema in another language. Kriya Shema, you can read Kriya Shema in English. Huh? Yes, sometimes it's spelled, it's not only, not that's most of the time the way we spell it is with an aleph, but here they spell it without the aleph, yeah. And Tefillah, yeah. Tefillah davening. Yeah. Of English, no, yeah. Right. So, in terms of, I'll address that, I was going to talk about it later, but I'll address it briefly now. The truth of the matter is those Tefillos that are in Aramaic, like Yikum Porkon, okay, or Brich Shmei, okay, and even the Kaddish and so on, those are, now Aramaic may have a different status. Because remember we saw that Gemara before, that when they came back in the days of Ezra, Aramaic was the language and so on. And it's a good Ha'ara, okay, but ultimately what we're talking, the main body of Tefillah, Shema and Shemoneh Esrei and so on, are not. These are things like a Kumpur and Brich Shmei, I'm not minimizing their significance, and Kaddish is certainly significant, but ultimately, that's not the main body of Tefillah. And it's a good question why. It's, you may remember, on Pesach, to say the Halach Ma'anya at the beginning is in Aramaic, and everybody asks why that American, the last two lines, the last lines in Hebrew. It's a good question. But Aramaic may have a different status, which perhaps we can talk about another time. Aramaic might be different. But still, even there, the main body, Kriya Shema and Tefillah, we don't find in Aramaic. So the Mishnah says, but it's okay to do it in the Aramaic or any other language. That's what it says. Similarly, Brichas HaMazon, benching. Okay, benching can also be in a different language, yeah.
Okay, so I'm not sure whether you want to ask the question.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get to all this. So maybe let me go through it. I'll take questions. I'm happy to answer the questions, but let's go through it. Okay. But anyway, just read what the Mishnah says. It's for Arab person. It mentions Kriya Shema, Tefillah, Brichas HaMazon. It's also Shavuos HaEidos, Shavuos HaPikad, those are certain oaths that a person has to take in a court case with not a tithe. Those can be all in another language. However, the Mishnah continues, the Elu Nemarim B'Lashon HaKodesh. The following have to be specifically in Lashon HaKodesh. Mikra Bikurim. Okay, when you bring the same Mishnah, still in 12. Just a continuation of the Mishnah. Number 12. Still, it's a continuation. Okay, the following are in other, it can be in Lashon HaKodesh. Mikra Bikurim. Okay, when you bring the first fruits to Yerushalayim, there's a certain text, you have to say that in Lashon HaKodesh. Chalitza, if there's a case of a chalitza, a woman, husband passed away, they had no children, so there's a chalitza, so there's a declaration made, that's got to be Hebrew. Brochos uklolos. Okay, that's when they came into Eretz Yisrael. And they went to the two mountains. Remember, there's six tribes over here, six tribes over there. That ceremony had to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Birchas Kohanim, Duchening. Can a Kohen get up to Duchen? That's got to be in Hebrew. Baruch Hashem Yisrael, they have to say that in Hebrew. Lashon HaKodesh. Birchas Kohen Gadol, that's some Yom Kippur, special bracha. Pirparsh Samelech, that's what we call Hakel. Remember Hakel, the first the Sukkot, after the Shemitah year, everybody assembled together. They do a commemoration of it today. And Chalamoid Sukkot after Shemitah year by the Kotzal Rabbi. Anyway, that was in Hebrew. Parshas Egla Rufa, Meshuach Mechama. These are different things. All these things had to be in Lashon HaKodesh Dafka. But for our purpose, it says that Kriya Shema and Davening, Brichas HaMazon, can be in another language. Now, the Gemara points out, why is that so? How do we... Huh? Meshuach Mechama is before they went out to war. Yes, the Kohen says... whoever just got married, whoever just built a house, or was afraid to go out to war, that whole ceremony also in Hebrew. Okay. An Eglah Arufa is when you found a dead body, you know, and they had to make a declaration. We don't know what happened to this person. They had a whole ceremony. Oh, these had to be in Hebrew. Good. We look in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Kriya Shema Minolam. How do you know? How do we know that Kriya Shema can mean any language? Who said? I mean, the Mishnah said. But where'd it come from? Because 13 is the Gemara in Sota on that same Sugi, Lamed Beis and Beis. Kriya Shema Minolam. Dichsiv, you know why? Because it says, Shema Yisrael. Now, how does that help us? So here, the Gemara tells us something very important that people don't realize. Most English translations that we have in our Siddurim, Shema Yisrael, it says, Hear Israel, Hear O Israel, Hear O Israel, or Listen O Israel. But the truth is, the real definition of the word Shema, as Chazal understand it in this Gemara, is to understand. Not to hear, but to understand. Shema, says the Gemara, B'chol Loshen Shata Shomea, any language you understand. Now, like in English, sometimes we also use the word hear. Like you're having a discussion with someone, oh, I hear what you're saying. I hear your point. What does that mean? You're telling your ears work? No, you're telling them that you hear, I understand. So the word hear can mean understand. That's really what it means in Shema. It means understand. So therefore, the Gemara says, since the very word Shema means to understand, then obviously you can say the Shema in whatever language you understand. If you don't understand Hebrew, say it in English or Chinese or whatever language you speak. So that's what it says. However, the Gemara goes on to say, not everybody agreed with that. Tanu Rabbanan, Kriya Shema Kichsova Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, disagreed with this whole concept. He says that, no, Kriya Shema must be in Hebrew. Kichsova, as it's written. In other words, in the original. You have to say Kriya Shema in the original. Okay, according to Rebbe. Chachamim Omen B'chol Lashon. The Chachamim disagree, and the majority of rabbis say, no, it can be any language, like we just said. But I do want you to know that Rebbe disagrees. As Rashi says in 14, Kichsova is B'lashon HaKodesh. Kichsova means as it's written, as it's in the text, that's Hebrew. In other words, in the original. That's the opinion of Rebbe. And the Gemara goes back and forth. Why does Rebbe say it has to be in the original? Because it says, V'hayu HaDvarim HaEila HaShem HaLachim Yisrael, which in V'hayu means as they are, right? As they are. So it's got to be in the language and that's written, namely in Hebrew. And the others say, no, Shema means whatever. So it's a machokes back and forth. And obviously in terms of the psak, Rebbe is a minority view, so therefore the Rambam, we move down to 15, Hilchas Kriya Shema, here you have Kriya Shema with the olive branch, Hilchas Kriya Shema, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud, Kore Adam Eshma, B'chol Lashon Shiyem Evina, the Rambam Paskins, you may say Kriya Shema in whatever language you understand, whatever language you understand. However, he puts an important caveat, V'akore B'chol Lashon, Tzorech Lizor Medivrei Shibush, but the Rambam says it has to make, you have to make sure that it is in fact a correct and accurate translation. It's not always so easy. In other words, when we say Shema, we're very careful with the words, to read the words exactly as they're written. If you're taking advantage of this situation, you want to say Shema in English or in French or whatever else, okay, you can do that. That's how we paskin, not like Rebbe. We paskin like the majority of you. The Chacham who say Shema means understand, therefore you can say Shema in whatever language you understand, but you have to make sure that it's a correct translation. Okay, and that's not always necessarily so simple, but that's just like by Lashon HaKodesh. The Rabbi has a comment, we won't go into that now. Okay, the Kesef Mishnah in 16 explains why is that the Rambam says that. So he says, because it's a plugta de Rebbe Rabbanon, which is a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, the majority. The Paskul Karabbanon, we paskin like the majority view. We follow the majority view. Okay, the ain halacha Rebbe Chaverah. We don't paskin like Rebbe when he's against the majority. So we, you know, as great as he was, I said, furthermore, the simple Mishnah in Soto, we started with back in source 12, said it as a davar pasha without an argument. Kriya Shema can be any language. So based on these ideas, that's all we paskin, that indeed Kriya Shema can be any language, but it should be a language, it should make sure that the translation is accurate. And by the way, it's not always so simple to translate it. Okay? And the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way also. If we take a look, 17, in Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim Siman Samach Beis Sif Beis, Yochol Likrosa B'chol Lashon, you can say Shema in any language, no problem, but the Yizor Medivrei Shibush, make sure there are no mistakes. Make sure it's an accurate translation. Okay? Sheba Osa Lashon, V'yidaktik Bo Kamo Lashon HaKodesh. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this way as well. And that is the halacha. But the Mishnah Brura now throws in one other important point. In Siman Samach Beis, Sivkot and Gimel. B'chol Lashon, yes, you can say Shema in any language, but V'davka Shemevin Ba'osa Lashon. But you have to understand that language yourself. Let's say I find somebody to transliterate the Shema into Japanese. Okay, so I could read it, and transliterate it. I read it in Japanese, but I don't know what I'm talking about. That's no good. The Mishnah Berurah is saying that the heter, the permissibility to read Shema in another language, that's if you yourself understand that language. Okay, so we can read it in English. But if I don't speak, Swahili, so I can't read it in Swahili. It's popular in some places, in some homes, maybe some of your homes, that by the Manishtana, one of the kids or somebody learns the Manishtana in some other language. Right, he says Manishtana in some other language. You ever hear that? Or let's say they have a little kid who learns it in Yiddish. And it doesn't understand, Yiddish, but it was cute, the Rebbe or whatever taught him or her how to say it in Yiddish. He doesn't understand a word he's saying, but he could teach somebody something in another language, which is fine. I mean, he can teach a parrot, he can teach a person also, to say something, but the Mishnah Berurah is saying that's not good enough. It can't be that you just learned how to say the Shema in that other language, you don't understand what you're talking about. You have to say it in a language that you understand. That's an important point, okay? And where did the Mishnah Berurah get that from? I mean, it's pretty sensible, since the whole permissibility to say it in another language is based on the word Shema, which means understand. So if I don't understand the Japanese, I could be trained that, in the Manishtana, so it's not a big deal. They don't understand it. There's no mitzvah to say Manishtana. But when it comes to Kriya Shema, you have to say the language you understand. And Mishnah Berurah says, it's interesting, if you take a look at the Rashi in Sota, Lama Beis, 19, the Gemara that we saw before, the Mishnah, it says, Elu Nemarin B'chol Loshon Garsina. You may say all these things, including Kriya Shema, in any language. Now, if I just had that, I could argue with you and say, what do you mean? Who says I have to understand it? You just said you can say it in any language. So I said it in Japanese, so what if I don't understand it? You could make that case. But it's interesting, Tosus, there in Sota 20, had a different girsa. It didn't say Elu Nemarin B'chol Loshon, but Elu Nemarim Bilshonam, in your or their, the language of the speaker, not B'chol Loshon. It's got to be a language that the speaker understands. So if you're in France, you speak French, you can read it in French. Or in America, you speak English, you can read it in English. But you can't read it in a language you yourself don't understand. That may be in the text, Bilshonam. And as the Tosfos explains, Pirish 20, Kol Adam Bilshono Shehu Shomea. Every person in the language which you understand. That's that. That's what the Shaburika. La Fuke Limodai She'eno Marbashan Parsi. Okay, Modai. Remember from Megillas Esther, Chel Parasu Modai. Right, the Persians and the Medes. Okay, so these were two different. Ahasuerus ruled over a huge area, 127 provinces. Chel Parasu Modai. Right, it said many times that phrase appears in Megillas Esther. So these were two different peoples, the Persians and the Medes. So the Tosfos says, if you're a Persian, you don't speak the Mede language, or you're a Mede, you don't speak the Persian, you can't say Shema in that other language. It's got to be a language that you understand. That's the language of the Yerushalmi also. In fact, Yerushalmi's presentation in the Mishnah, just it's an interesting side point from a scholarly point of view. We know there's two Talmuds, right? There's a Talmud Yerushalmi and a Talmud Bavli. The common denominator is you start with the Mishnah, okay, and then you have a discussion in the Gemara on that particular Mishnah. That's how it works. Now, the Talmud Bavli has the discussions on the Mishnah from the Babylonian sages. The Talmud Yerushalmi, or the Talmud Eretz Yisrael, has the discussion from the sages in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes it's similar, sometimes it's totally different. Sometimes there can be pages and pages of discussion of Bavli and 10 lines in the Yerushalmi. Or sometimes a lot of Yerushalmi and very little Bavli. Sometimes there are Masechtas where there is no Yerushalmi. There are Masechtas where there is no Bavli. But the common denominator always is the Mishnah. The Mishnah is the same. The Shisha is the Mishnah. However, the Mishnah, sometimes there are nuances in the Mishnah. So little phrases, words that are a little different. Those who know Rabbi Heschel Shechter, Rosh Hashiva here in our yeshiva, Rosh Kolo, his father, so my Rabbi Melech Shechter, Chalav Rocha, was also a Rebbe in the yeshiva, Big Talmud Chacham, he published a sefer, which I have at home, which is, he goes through all the places in the Mishnah where the Bavli and the Yerushalmi don't exactly have the same text. This is one of them. Because our Bavli says, you can say Kriya Shema B'chol Loshon, any language. Yerushalmi says Bil Shonam in their language, the language of the speaker. But in any event, the Mishnah Berurah says, despite the fact that it may be different in the presentation in the Bavli and Yerushalmi, but still, so the Mishnah Berurah, we paskin, you have to understand it. Okay, whatever the correct girsa is, whatever the correct text is in that Mishnah, never mind. The Mishnah Berurah says, bottom line, this heter, this permissibility to say Kriya Shema, davening and benching, whatever else, in other languages is fine. That's how we paskin. Not like Rebbe, you insisted that it had to be in Hebrew, but it had to be in Lashon HaKodesh. No, it can be in another language, provided, again, that you understand that particular language. That's one thing. Another thing, the Yerushalmi says Bilshonam, and the Bavli says B'chol Lashon. But again, we paskin, it doesn't matter. Whatever the exact correct text is, the Mishnah Berurah is not dealing with the text. He's telling you the halacha. The halacha is, whatever the correct text, b'chol lashon, he'll say that that means b'chol lashon that you understand. Right? It can't be. So there's no halachic difference, just a scholarly or an analytic difference in terms of presentation. Okay. Another important thing is the following interesting case. What if you have a language, I'm just saying, what if a language, I make up my own language. Okay, I make up, a couple of us, a secret language that we talk to each other, I say Pig Latin. I guess people know Pig Latin, but it's not something that's not really a language. Sometimes you have babies that have a baby talk, baby language. My parents told me that when I was very little, so even I was learning how to speak, but I had certain words of my own for certain things, and I had a whole system, so to speak, a little bit. All right, those at least are words. Right, that goes back to what I said before, that language changed. But I'm talking about, it was gobbledygook, it was meaningless, it only meant something to me. Well, my mother, she understood me, my mother, she told me, I don't remember this obviously myself, but apparently I used to have a word for powder, like baby powder, I would say papam, and so when my mother was putting powder on after a bath or whatever, I kept saying papam, papam, and she said, wait a minute, I thought, because I understood it, I was learning how to speak, she said, I thought papam was a pencil. So I said, no, that's papam. You have to accent it the right way. So sometimes people develop, their own little kids. They have their own little dopey words for things, and then they outgrow it. But anyway, but let's say I have a language. So it's interesting. There is a Gemara in Kiddushin, Vav Mer Aleph. We're familiar with the term for halachic engagement or betrothal, Kiddushin. Harayat mikudeshesli, right? That's what the Chosin says to the Kala under the Chuppah. Harayat mikudeshesli, Kiddushin. Or another word for the same thing is erusin, the halachic engagement. I say halachic engagement not to be confused with what we call engagement in English today. When we say today that a couple's engaged, that does not have any halachic status. It doesn't have any status in American law either. All it means is that they're telling them and their friends they're going to get married and they're going to start finding a hall and the caterers or whatever else. But it's not really binding. It has no connection. There's no halachic significance to it. They can break up the next day or whatever. Hopefully they don't. But I'm just saying it has no halachic standing. In English or in American law either, but halachic engagement is when they give a ring and so on and so forth. So that's what we call the betrothal. And anyway, the standard word is erusin. That's the bracha brichas erusin or kiddushin. But the Gemara says in kiddushin on Daf Vav Mem Aleph, ibalu charufsi mahu. Okay, what if he says 24 charufsi? Charufsi is also a word. The word charufa also means the same idea, engaged or betrothed. Okay, is that okay? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Tanya, Omer charufsi mikudeshes. Yes, shekein bi Yehuda kolim arusa charufa. In the land of Yehuda, Judea, they use that word to mean engaged, or again halakha engaged, betrothed. So therefore, it's a valid word. If you don't want to say right mikudeshes, you say this. It counts. It counts because it means the same thing. Gemara says, really? The Yehuda who ruba the Alma, is that the whole world? Is it just because in one place they use this word for that meaning, therefore that it counts the halacha? So Gemara says what it means is, oh, come on. Ha'omar chuz mekudeshes, okay, because it says, Yehuda, what it means is, it's okay in Yehuda, in that town or in that area where they use that word, then it counts. In other words, what is language? The language has to be, first of all, you understand, but it has to be a language that people use where you're using it as well. Okay, that people understand it. It can't be some kind of a secret thing. Maybe you understand what you're saying, and your five friends understand, but that's not a language that people in the area speak, then that doesn't count as a language. You hear what I'm saying? Well, the Gemara says that this word, since in the land of Yehuda, it had that meaning to the general populace, so therefore, in that area, but in some other area, where no one knows what it means, that wouldn't count. Even though you may understand it, but it won't count because that's not a language. The language is, like I said earlier, it's the consensus of the public in that area. Okay? The Gemara has such a similar thing about the carrying on Shabbos. We won't go into it now, we'll leave it out. But it's just an interesting an interesting discussion about how certain people used to carry something. So is that called carrying a halacha? For example, those who remember, sometimes you see the Arab women, they carry things on their head. You know, they walk in the shuk, you see them balance these heavy objects on their head. So is that called carrying for Hilchos Shabbos? Around here, nobody carries like that. So is that called carrying on a Doraisa level for the Shabbos? The Gemara has a similar discussion. Sometimes things are determined by what's considered the norm where you are. Okay, that's a simple parallel. Okay. So really now we have two principal caveats here. You can say Shema and things in other languages, that's okay, provided you understand it, provided it's a bona fide actual language, at least in that place where you are. That it's something that people know. It's not some, gobbledygook or something that you make up, even though you might understand it yourself. Okay? The same thing, there's another area of halacha where this is relevant in the laws of a neder. A person takes a neder. Okay? A person takes a vow to do something. So a person says, I swear, I hereby take a neder, shvua. So also there are languages. Some of you may remember, you think back to Kol Nidre, right? So hope, which also in Aramaic, right? But think of Kol Nidre. So a whole bunch of words. Kol Nidre, Vesare, Vecharame, Vekinuye, Vekinuse, Vekinuye, Ushavu. They all mean the same thing. They're all different words for the different types of oaths and promises and so on and so forth. So that's another area. I printed the Rambam in 29, Hilchos Adar and Parakav Alacha Tezayin. In order to be valid as a neder, it has to have that meaning in where you are. Okay, we get the idea. I want to look carefully now. We'll move to number 30. To the laws of Kriya Shema, the Bir Halacha from the Mishnah Berurah. Okay? So he says, on the basis of all of this, let's look at 30 together. Vida'o denirali bepshitas, the osan dvaram haneram b'chol loshon, all those things which we said can be in another language. Kriya Shema, Shmon Esrei, benching, can be in another language. He says, yeah. But hudafka im anshe os hamadina midabim kach. Like I said before, the Mishnah Berurah paskins now. Look, it's got to be that people use that language. It's got to be an actual language. I speak this funny language, or maybe a handful of other people, my friends, or a clubhouse language, something. That doesn't count. Okay? That's lo nechshav loshon klal medina zu. That's not considered a language because nobody understands it. So now we'll ask the Mishnah Berurah one second. What about loshon kodesh? What if no one around here understands Hebrew? What if I live in a place and then no one speaks it? Does that mean I can't say the Kriya Shema now in Lashon HaKodesh? After all, I understand it, but we just said it's got to be a language that people where you are understand. So what about Lashon HaKodesh? That's the Mishnah Berurah's kash. Mishnah Berurah's Bir Halacha is an expansion or an expanded Mishnah Berurah. It's two parts, it's three parts really. It's comment on the Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah, where he just tells you halacha, the Bir Halacha, where he expands on it, and he gives it some background and so on. And the bottom, the Shaar Tzion, he has a reference where he got it from, where it's in the Gemara, which where the Rambam said it, or the Vilna Gaon said it, whoever said it. Okay. Anyway, in the Bir Halacha, he says this one second. So how come, but what about by Lashon HaKodesh? Let's come full circle. Maybe, according to this rule, if I'm in a place where no one speaks, I shouldn't be able to say Kriya Shema in Lashon HaKodesh. It's hard to imagine, but that's the next logical step. If we said that the definition of a language is that the people around there, that's a thing that people speak, okay? So the Mishnah Berurah says, no. He says, Lashon HaKodesh, the fourth line of 30, Hu Lashon Mitzara Etzem. He said, it goes back to what I said before about why it's called Lashon HaKodesh. This was the language that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in. And therefore, the names of things in Lashon HaKodesh, that describes the essence or whatever it is. It's not just consensus. It's not just that people decided that this word means that word means this. No, in Lashon HaKodesh, again, I'm distinguishing Lashon HaKodesh and modern Hebrew, okay? In Lashon HaKodesh, it's the essential nature of the item. He says, Masha'enu came, again, a fourth line, Sha'ar Lashon en aki'i mitzad heskem hamedina. Other languages, public consensus. Right? This is what people understand what this word means. That's what it means. And if later on a word has a completely different meaning, again, you compare Chaucer's English, even certainly in slang and other things, but in the last 50 years, words have changed. The last 10 years, words have changed. I mean, most of us, when you want to make a phone call, you dial. But people still use what does it mean? You dial 7. What does dial mean? Right? I mean, words change because circumstances change. I mean, you know, and you can think of many things, you know. I mean, what's a mouse? A mouse used to only be a rodent. Now, oh, where's my mouse? You know, it's different. So words change. That's the reality based on what society understands it to mean. But that's not so, says the Mishnah Berurah, with regard to Lashon HaKodesh. Okay? Lashon HaKodesh, that's the essence of the word. Okay, so in other languages, when it's just a matter of these particular sounds, this combination of consonants and vowels and sounds mean what people understand it to mean. So then it has to have meaning in that town and that community where you are. But Lashon HaKodesh, that is the essence. You know, that's different. Okay, and he brings that Gemara from Harufa and Glarufa and so on. Anyway, he says it's interesting. I think it's an interesting point. And he says the. Okay, so that's that caveat from the Mishnah Berurah. So much about Kriya Shema. If we look now to 31, we'll move down to 31. The same thing as Paskin and Simon Kuf Aleph of Aruch Chaim, Siv Zayim. Yochol Lispalel B'chol Loshon Sheyirtzeh. You can also daven in any language that you want, not just Kriya Shema. Okay, you can also daven Shemone Esrei in whatever language you want. But, an interesting point, the Shulchan Aruch says, V'hani Mili B'tzibur. That's true when you're davening B'tzibur. Aval biyochid, as the Shulchan Aruch says, biyochid lo yispala al b'loshon hakodesh. If you're davening by yourself, you should daven only in loshon hakodesh. Interesting. We'll start trying to see why. But then it says biyesh omrim. Someone asked this question before. Dehani mili, kishoel tzrochav. But that's only true that you have to daven loshon hakodesh and so on. There's a difference between asking for your personal needs, as opposed to the text of the Shemona Esrei, Kigon, Sheispalel al Chole, we're davening for somebody who's sick, or Shum Tzar, Sheishavis, some personal suffering or tragedy you have, and so on. Aval Tfila Hakvul Tzibur, Afil Yochid Yochol Omer B'chol Lashon. But that which is the main text of the davening, that everybody says, then you can daven in any language. And furthermore, then it says, V'yesh Omer, Da'af Yochid, Kisheshoel tzrochav, even an individual, when you're asking for personal needs, that too, yochol ishol b'chol loshin, to any language, chutz miloshin arami, except for Aramaic. Dafka, not Aramaic. What's going on here? So let's take a look. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Sim kuf alef siv dalet. So that's the Shulchan Aruch in 31. The Mishnah Berurah explains everything in 32. He says, first of all, look at 32. First of all, it says any language you want, but again, he repeats what he said in Hilchos Kriya Shema, V'hu sheyavin osa loshon bar, provided you understand what you're talking about. We said that before. You have to understand it. It can't just be your... However, he says as follows, and this opens up a whole different discussion. Apparently, the Malachim, how we understand what Malachim are, assist us in bringing our tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a whole can of worms, okay? But somehow, Malachim... Not that we're davening to the Malachim. We're not davening to Malachim. Davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no question about it. And we have a direct access. However, the way I heard it explained, the Malach, so to speak, can set our prayers in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a lot of issues we're talking about around some of the piyutim on Rosh Hashanah Kippur and the Slichas seem to be with davening to Malachim. Maybe, and so some people skip that part, or they change the text, or myself included. But in other ways, the Malachim basically, you know what it's like? It's like I heard the Usher Weiss, actually, gave this example. Sometimes you have a clerk and works in the judge's office. You know, so the clerk, he's not making a decision. We tell the clerk, do me a favor, put my case on the top so he gets to it, right? Put my case on the bottom so he won't get to it, right? You know, in other words, sometimes the people there who say they're not making a decision, you know they're not making it, they can be helpful. Anyway, that's the idea. But apparently, the Malachim, there's a quote to our tradition, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the second line of 32, Sukkot and Tesvav and Simcha follow. The Malachim don't understand they don't speak Aramaic. Okay? They don't speak Aramaic. So, therefore, you better daven in Lashon HaKodesh. However, as far as the Chol is concerned, or some other situation, you don't need the Malachim, you can talk directly. That's what's going on over here. However, you shouldn't do it in Aramaic. You know, but Tzibur, again, because you want to, because of the situation with the Malachim. Okay. But in any event, Lemaisa, it comes out that you can daven in other languages. Also, perhaps, when it comes to personal needs, you're davening by yourself, maybe you shouldn't do another language, but the conclusion, Shulchan, is you can, just not Aramaic. Okay, that's not a problem most of us today, since we don't speak Aramaic anyway, so we don't have that problem. But bottom line, you can do these other things, davening also in another language.
Now,
that's a different, I don't know. I mean, it's a longer problem. But that's the tradition. That's a tradition. What I wanted to mention, though, it's interesting. Tosus points out, you know, the Mishnah spoke about Kriya Shema, and it spoke about Tefillah, and it spoke about Birchas Hamazon. Good, so we can do that now in other languages with those caveats that you've got to understand it. It's got to be a language where you speak and so on. Good. But Tosus wonders, what about other things? And the way Tosus asks it, I'm not really interested in Tosus' answer. I'm interested in the question 33. Back in that Sugan Sota Lamed Beis. Kriya Shema Tefillah. Tema, Amai Shir, why did they not say anything in the mission about Hallel? This Hajjantif, right? Hallel. Can I do that in another language? Kiddush Shal Shabbos. Birchas HaPeros, brachas on food. Birchas HaMitzvahs, brachas on mitzvahs. Interesting, right? So the that was never mentioned in the mission. It mentioned Kriya Shema, mentioned davening, mentioned benching, but it didn't mention, what about Kiddush Friday night? What about Hallel? Okay, what about the brachas on food? What about a bracha on a mitzvah, like, whatever, Al Tisadayim, or Al Tisadayim, Shabbos, or whatever? It's not listed. Now, the Tosus gives an answer. Whatever, the answer's not important, but from the question you see, the Tosus assumed that, of course, you can also do those in another language. Therefore, he asked, why was it left out? Okay, so he gave a reason why it's left out. Perhaps these are not Doraisa, but maybe they are Doraisa. Bottom line is that it's not the permissibility of saying another language is not limited just to the three things that are mentioned in the Mishnah, Kriya Shema, Tefillah, and Birchas Hamazon. It includes other things too. And therefore the Rambam, for example, we look in 34, Hilchos Brachas, right? The Brachas on food, or Brachas. The Rambam writes, 34, Parak Aleph, Hilchos Brachas al Avod, Chol HaBrachas Kulon, Nemarin B'chol Lashon. Okay, Brachas also you can say in a blessed art thou, whatever, you can say in another language as well. Okay? And all the rules of Shulchan Aruch also says like that, you can say it in another language, and so on. And again, the Mishnah Berurah, look in 36, Simon Samach Bey, Sivkot and Gimel, Huadin Betrila, Birchas Hamazon, Kiddush, Birchas Hamitzvahs, Peros, Fruit, Hallel, all these things you can do also in another language other than in Hebrew. However, let's go down now to 38. The Mishnah Berurah does put in the following. This is all true, says the Mishnah Berurah, 38, Simon Samach Bey, Sivkot and Gimel. This is all true. This is the din. No question. You do it in other languages. The choices, the best way to do the mitzvah is to try and acquaint yourself and learn how to do it Lashon HaKodesh. Meaning, someone doesn't understand Hebrew, the person just learning, beginning to understand. Okay. But ultimately, the Mishnah Berurah says, even though it counts, even though it's good, that's the halacha, calls them mitzvah din. But still, you take a look, it's better, he said, if you can be trained. And hopefully when someone's becoming more religious and more dedicated, so you train them to learn Lashon HaKodesh, and to understand it. The best thing, today you can get interlinear. We have a siddur that has the words right on top. There are many means which we developed that a person can say in Lashon HaKodesh as well as translator, and ultimately learn how to do it. So that's an important point. Everything we discuss is strictly speaking, yes, you can do it in another language, and if you can't have, you can't have proper kavanah and so on, you don't understand the words, so say it in English. Not a problem. But the goal should ultimately be able to do it in Hebrew. Sometimes that's very difficult because, you have long tefillahs and so on, so I would say to say it in English, yeah. I forgot, what was the question? No, so that's what we said before. Personal request, one opinion said. The answer would be yes, according to many authorities, provided that the tefillah included three things, or three components. Divrei Shevach, which is praise, Bakosha, and Hodah. According to the Rambam and others, that would be valid, right? Right. And technically speaking, for men also, even, right? But ultimately, though, again, the goal should be to say the tefillahs that we have. But sometimes they go very fast in the shul; you can't keep up, and so on and so forth. So good. So either skip certain parts, or you can. And if a person understands it better in English, except perhaps for the line of Shema itself or the first book of Shema. So ultimately, you can do those things in English. The only thing is that just to finish up, because it's it's getting a little late. Again, as we said, the mitzvah namuchar, always just do it in Lashon HaKodesh. We should try and do it that way, but if a person is learning how to do it, okay, if you're first trying to do it, that's what, for example, we move down to 41, the Sefer Chassidim. In Siman Tov Kuf Pei Ches, for instance, the previous 140, Tov Shin Pei Hei, it says, Tov Lola Adam Shispala Bikrashmao Brachos Beloshon Shameven Bo, Mishispala Beloshon HaKodesh Eina Meven Bo. That's an important point. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, one that we've shown him, right, that it's better for a person to say Shema and the brachos and everything in a language you understand what you're saying than to say in Hebrew and not know what you're talking about. And that's what he says. Okay? And that's why he said, look, the Gemara is written in Babylon, Aramaic. You mentioned before different things that are in Aramaic and so on. That's what the Sefer Chassidim said. It's better to understand what you're saying and say it in another language than to say it in Hebrew when you don't know what you're talking about. That's for sure. What kind of kavanah? You don't even know what it means. That's for sure. But he writes later in the next one, it's in Tav Kuf Pei Ches, actually earlier in the text. However, if somebody doesn't know, that you try and teach him. Try and get yourself accustomed to doing it in Hebrew, you understand it. But ultimately, if you can't, then it's okay. It's interesting, there's a further issue with another language also. Because sometimes translation is very, very difficult. How do you translate something? And we have a word of Kriya Shema, we're talking about Kriya Shema. It says, V'hayu l'to tafos b'nei necho. It should be phylacteries. Who in the world knows? The only people who know phylacteries are Jews. We know what tefillin is, you know. Ask the guy in the street, doesn't know what phylacteries are. Frontlets on your... You know, sometimes translation is very, very difficult to make an accurate translation. That's how the Pnei Yeshua and others point out. And others, you know, how do you translate? We don't even know what some of the translations are. And for a person to make something up, you know, that's dangerous. Translate. If you're ever interested in hearing, reading an interesting essay, it's like 3 pages, it won't take you long to read it. Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan translated the Chumash, they're called the Living Torah. You ever see the purple cover? Okay, so maybe now it's a different color, but he has his first couple of pages, he talks about the challenges of translating something, stuff like the Torah. You can't put your own ideas in. That's blasphemous. On the other hand, to translate literally, we say, I don't know if he gives this example, I forget it, but it says, you know, in Oz Yosher, it says, Hashem Ish Milchama. So to translate that, God is a man of war. God is a man? Really? You know, I say that. You know, so, you know, translation is a very, very tricky business. We'll leave it at that. Okay? But furthermore, it's just interesting to note okay, right, so that's the 20th answer, but still, will that work in English? Does that work in English? Maybe warrior is a better word. I'm just saying, as opposed to man, I would say warrior. Again, the translation is not to say nothing of idiomatic expressions, you know, which in a different language may not mean the same thing. Maybe meaningless, but in this language it makes sense. That's something like language translation. I remember there used to be a cartoon in the paper called Hagar the Horrible. I remember he was a Viking warrior. So one of the things he comes into Paris and with his men and whatever, he walks into a bar and he tells his assistant, go tell that bartender we want our drinks on the house. Okay, and the next panel they're up on the roof having a drink. Because that expression, especially in English, may not be an expression, I don't know if it is, it may be an expression in French, right? I mean, an idiomatic expression, you tell somebody, this is what Kaplan mentions, and I'm sorry, I can't talk, I have a frog in my throat. Now, imagine that saying that in a language where that doesn't translate into any idiom, it's moving out of your mind, right? So I think translation is a tricky business, so that's an important point. Okay, also, when it comes to tefillah, one thing about personal prayer, but you know, to make up a tefillah, stam, is not so poshut. That's what Pnei Yeshua points out. You know, when they wanted to add that extra bracha for the malshinim, you know, for the heretics and so on, it wasn't so simple. They had to find the person, Shmuel HaKotan. So Pnei Yeshua asked them, brachas chav ches. Couldn't Rabbi Gamliel make it up himself? What did they make? The answer is not so simple. You can't just make up, you know, personal tefillahs is one thing. And you should add personal tefillahs. And I say even in English. I tell students all the time. In the bracha of Shema Kolenu, you should add a personal tefillah, even in another language, huh? Right, right, okay, but if you feel more comfortable, yes, trinus and so on and so forth, I think you are allowed to do it. But again, it's you know, Soloveitchik also was concerned about changing, you know, adding your own text, not so simple. I just want to finish the last couple of tshuvas that I printed, the last thing, so I'll just finish up. The Sam Sofer, in one of his tshuvas, said about doing it in another language, you have to be careful also. You know, Chassam Sofer fought against the reform. So it's in Germany, they wanted to make everything in German. We don't need Hebrew anymore. We don't. So that's all. There's a little bit of a concern. If you're going to start introducing things into the davening and in the spoken language, is that going to be taken? Ultimately, they'll change everything. You'll change a little bit. You know, these problems. Chassam Sofer talks about that in the Tshuva Chelik Vov Siman Pei Dalid. He said, you know, I want to be very careful about doing that without, that's 46, I don't have time to read it inside. But again, he's concerned about that issue because in his time that was a major problem. And today also he starts saying that it's copying church services, copying this, you know, we have to be careful. And the last tshuva that I printed was from the Svidei Eish, Rav Weinberg, and we'll finish with this, Rav Ankerchil Weinberg from Switzerland. This was written, if you take a look, in 48. Shal's tshuva, Svidei Eish, Chelek Aleph Simen Tes. Chelek Aleph Simen Tes. He has the following. It was written. You can look at inside who it was written to. He says, "Hachnosos piyutim ba'anglis l'seder atzilu v'sakneset." Can we insert English piyutim, English prayers, into our into the service, into the davening? We say things in English in the davening. Who is the tshuva to? Claude Yedidim Chuda Rabbi Gona Chom Otzel Shir Shemaim B'Tovas Rabbi Elio Young, Rabbi Leo Young. He's the rabbi of the Jewish Center in New York. Rabbi Leo Young, one of the prominent New York rabbonim of the previous couple generations already. Rabbi Leo Young, the Jewish Center in Manhattan. When he passed away, that's when Dr. Norman Lamb, before he became president, why he took over that shul. So this was Rabbi Leo Young sent a shaila to apparently people in his shul, wanted to put English in and so on and so forth. And he writes, he was a realist, the Svidei Eish. He said, you asked me about putting things in. He says, look, mitzad hadin bevadai she'ein kan iser. Strictly speaking, there's no iser. However, what's going to happen? I know what's going to happen because tefillah and chaloshim, we learned today, you can say tefillah in any language. So it's okay, so put in English stuff. What's the problem? Strictly speaking, it said it's not an issue. Okay? However, and especially if people don't understand, he mentions that not all women at that time are educated and understand Hebrew. Good, like you said, all the tchinas and the Yiddish and so on. But he said, you know what's going to happen? You're going to do this. So he says, the kanoim will come, hacharedim yisnagulo. They'll come and say, oh, in his shul, they say stuff in English, and that's not orthodox, and this, you know, that's what happens, unfortunately. He was a realist, the Svidei Eish. He knew the audience. So he said, they're going to say that they're changing all the text, and so on and so forth. The point is, you have to be careful. And he mentions just one last thing. He says, you know, the shul, the tefillahs is our shul, that's like one of the last places where there's, you know, we're so careful about tradition in a shul. Because that's, you know, that's where we protect ourselves and so on. He says you have to be especially careful, he says, in a shul. And therefore I say, I tell you, Rabbi Young, don't do it. You want to tell people they can say private prayers in English, but don't insert it as a formal part of the davening, because you're asking for trouble. That's basically what he said. Even though strictly speaking, I'll be din as we learn, it's absolutely mutter. So these are things to bear in mind in terms of public tefillah. But in terms of private tefillah, a person is private shmoneh esrei, and let's say you're saying in Hebrew, but I have a personal request, come back to you and say, I'm not a yotzeh, but I have a personal request in the bracha rifa'enu. So I have someone, God forbid, in my family, his friend, who's sick or something like that, and I want to say a personal tefillah, and there's no text there, I can say it. You should say it. Yes, even in English. It's not a hefsek, it's not an interruption. Or in Shema Kolena, I tell students, you can, you know, you have a big test coming up and you want to, you know, ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for help. I always tell them, don't confuse studying with prayer. But nonetheless, you want to go ahead and add a tefillah and say it in English. Good, that's what you're supposed to do in the davening. But in terms of the formal text in the public, that's what the Svidei Eish was warning about. But strictly speaking, these tefillahs can be recited in other language. Although the better thing, if a person is retrained, would be to learn Lashon HaKodesh. Thank you. Have a good day. I'm just going to, I don't want to hold up the next speaker, so I'll have you step outside.